The Lord has really been pressing on me about having a reverential fear of the Lord. And I'm going to switch my mic right now, Caleb. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. So as the Lord's been putting on my heart about this reverential fear of God, and I struggle with that. In my early walk, I was like, why do I want to fear somebody that loves me? And I loved your segue. I didn't tell her what I told her what I was preaching on, but I didn't tell her anything else. And she gave a great segue. Thank you, Caitlin. It's awesome. And the reality is, how do we fear and love at the same time? Right? Because doesn't that sound cruel? But when we look at the Greek, when we look at the way that the construct is, it's not fear to be, oh my gosh, I'm going to be destroyed, or I'm going to be beaten, or I'm going to be harmed. It's a fear to be separated from him. There is a major problem, at least I think it is as a pastor, and the church should as well, in our nation today. Can you go to the next slide? We look at the statistics, and what we're finding is that in 1972, 90% of people claimed to be Christians. Today, it's about 56% of our culture. That should scare you. We are changing. Our culture has changed. There is a shift. We've become a postmodern Christianity where truth is lies and lies are truth. You could say what you want, and you can accept what you want, and that will be your reality. By the way, y'all, I identify now as a pink elephant. And I would like peanuts, please. No, and so we live in this world where we have taken science and put it aside and gone with emotions and gone with feelings. Out of the 80% of people that responded to the survey, 80% said they had some faith. 56% of those people said they believed in the biblical description of God. And that is even less if you look at the evangelical church, or that God still operates and that God can still do miracles and that God still loves and cares for them. Most people believe that there is a higher power, that there's a spiritual force. That was like 23%. And then 1% had no answer. 20% said there was no God. 20% of the people said there was no God. And this is actually statistics from 2017, and it's actually gotten worse since. I believe the last statistic was it's about 48% of people identify as believers in Jesus Christ. Our culture is changed. The United States is a big area. The capital region is the most unchurched area, or one of the most unchurched areas in our nation. If you don't think we are not up against the world here, you would be wrong. Intellectualism, science, sin, open sin, is taking over our capital. Is taking over the capital region, taking over part of New York. And we see it every day. And I don't want to go into all that stuff. But how do we deal with this? How do we get to a place that we can fully understand? And so some of it we have to look at history, right? As I said earlier, truth is no longer fact, it's become lies. Who is truth? God is truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there'll be people out there that'll be like, no, there's not. I have seen too much to believe anything else, that there is a God. I have seen arms grow. I have seen legs grow. I have seen demons cast out. I've seen people with tumors have tumors cast off of them. It is not scientifically provable in any way other than they're no longer there. They can't explain that. There are things that happen in the spiritual and the things that happen in the natural, and there's a combination. Isn't that truly what our faith is? It is the natural and the spiritual, and it is coming together, and we walk that out. As we walk that out by faith, we need to have a reverence for God. What happens when we don't have a reverence for God or a fear of God? We lose our morality. Our culture today is more immoral than it ever has been. Crime is through the roof everywhere. Sin is through the roof everywhere. People's feelings and emotion run every aspect of their life rather than fact and truth. If you're a person that studies history, by the way, I hated history when I was in high school. I hated history when I was a young adult. It's only when I became a pastor that I started looking at history, because history does repeat itself. You want to know where we're going? Look where we've been. And you'll see it. What do we see today? We see our government being set up very similar to what the Roman Empire was before its collapse. There was governmental corruption. There's division in the nation. And there's an invasion of outside cultures coming in and turning and changing the course of our nation. Rome was willing to accept everybody, but everybody had to accept Rome. But people came in, "I'll accept you," but they didn't. And they changed it from the inside. And what we see in our nation today is we see this change coming from inside. And unfortunately, many people are too busy to see that or hear it or want to hear it. Others choose the option of multimedia. God made us to be in communion with each other. I love all you folks online. I really do. Come to church. We want to love you here. Because in church, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Did you guys feel the presence of the Holy Spirit as the worship team was working today? Yeah. Amen, right? And so that's important, because sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to work on you, and he needs to work on you in presence. And it takes a sacrifice for us to get here to do that. Many people have no fear of the Lord. They don't believe, they don't care, they don't think that God's real. But what's the first person they call on when they have trial and tribulation? I used to joke around when my wife and I ran the paintball field, and we used to play paintball tournaments. Paintball was the most religious sport you ever saw in your life. And people would be like, "What?" When you're behind a bunker and everybody's shooting at you, you're like, "Oh God, please don't hit me." So, get it? Yeah, everybody. It's a lot about, in that time of need, we ask. But the reverence and the fear of God doesn't do that. The reverence and the fear of God is steady. God, I always need you every day. And I need to walk with you every day. And so what do we do? Because the truth is, souls are being lost. People are going to spend their eternity in hell. That's the truth and the reality. When the body of Christ is not doing what the body of Christ needs to do. And I'm not talking here, I'm talking nationally, worldwide. When we as the body of believers do not do what we do, people will go to hell. And they will spend an eternity there. And it is not a good place to go. It is not a friendly place. And so King Solomon, who they believe wrote most of Proverbs, in Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the reverence and the respect for God that we need to have. Somebody went to offer me money today for chicken barbecue. And I'm like, "Nope, I'm not doing that in the sanctuary." And they looked at me kind of like, "I don't do business in the sanctuary." "Why don't you do business?" Because what did Jesus do when people were exchanging money in the sanctuary? He busted the place up. And Jesus has got big arms. He was a carpenter. I don't want to mess with that dude. So, fearing God begins our knowledge. We begin to understand who God is, the Creator. who knows you, who created you for a purpose and a plan, who's been with you through every problem, every trial, every tribulation, every hurt, every pain, every loss. He's been there with you. That's who God is. But are we there with him in our fear of not being with him? Wisdom is one of those things that Solomon asked for and God granted it. See, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Is anybody here, actually y'all do, y'all know how to start a car, right? How's it work? You turn the key. No, that's not how it works, right? So you have knowledge on how to do it. You have a little wisdom on how to drive the car, I hope. But you don't understand all the electrical components. You don't understand how that's manufactured. You don't have the wisdom in that. But you have the wisdom to drive the car. See, knowledge is information. Wisdom is how we apply it in our lives. As I like to tell people, knowledge is knowing that that's a skunk. Wisdom is knowing that you don't want to go to the south end of a northbound skunk. Wisdom takes knowledge and places it into perspective that can be useful. I talk to the youth all the time. I ask them, you guys like math? No, math sucks. We don't like math, except for the Verderbers. And they have to like math. It's a requirement. And so they don't like the youth don't like math. I don't like math until I realized that math is God's language. Math is consistent and steady and never changes. God speaks in ones and zeros and numbers. And I really like math when I get my paycheck. I don't know about you guys. You know, I like to know what I made and what I worked and effort. Despising wisdom makes people reject the truth. We take knowledge and they despise the knowledge, what sin is. That's always the big one, right? Oh, God's convicting me of my sin. That's what he's supposed to do. But I don't like that. I like my sin. And so I reject what God's telling me so that I can engage in my own sin. And that is one of those things that harm us, right? The word for fool that despises wisdom instruction is avili. And a fool is a person who mocks others when guilty, despises wisdom, a quarrelsome person, and an immoral person. That's the Greek definition. So when a fool rejects God's truth and God's wisdom, they're rejecting God and setting themselves up for failure. And sometimes we in the church can be fools, can't we? Sometimes we can reject the things that God has, or we can reject what God wants for us. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So Solomon switches this a little bit. Wisdom, again, tells us how to use knowledge. We have wisdom in this building. We have wisdom from the youth, because let me tell you, sometimes the youth ask the best questions. And we have wisdom from people like Miss Lape, who have been around for a day or two, you know, or a year or two, right? There's wisdom here. We've all been through things. And that wisdom comes from the Lord through experiences and the things that God has done in our lives and through our lives. The question is, are we willing to hear them? Wisdom comes through testimonies, God's word, experiences, and wise counsel. James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, on spiritual and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemaker who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. The fear of the Lord keeps us from evil practices. I tell the youth all the time, not all the time, but I have told them in the past, we all have free will. Today, we can leave here, we can go to the bar, we can empty our bank accounts, we can change our life totally. We don't live in a dynamic where we don't have, that we're restricted. We can literally do whatever we want. You could do every sin that you wanted to do this afternoon, but you don't. At least I hope you don't. But why don't we? Because we choose righteousness in Christ. True? I hope so. The fear of the Lord is the knowledge we have, and the wisdom is how we take that information in reverence for the Lord and apply it in our lives. When we read Scripture, we hear testimonies, we see God heal people's bodies, we see God deliver people from demonic things. We take all of that and we apply it in our lives. Why? Because it builds our faith up. It says, Lord, you are real, you are true, you are just. You care about us. You are present in our lives. You're right here next to us. It's not just, I come to church on Sunday for a half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour and a half. I come to church to be in the presence of the Holy One. This sanctuary should be a place of holiness. When we come in here, our heart should be ready at the door. When we walk in here, all right, Lord, I'm coming here to honor you and to give you glory and to give you the reverence that you deserve. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another week. The Jewish custom, before they would go into their temple, they would actually, and we're not doing this, but they would change their clothes and they would get everything all ready and they would be prim and proper and they would walk in and they would just be ready for God. When you come to church on Sundays, come ready to meet the Most High. Not, Lord, it sucks again. You didn't heal me. Come with expectation. Come with joy in your heart. Come with the fear of the Lord, that respect and the honor that God is requires. When I was a teenager, one of the things that my friends and I, as messed up as we were, we believed in honor. We believed in a lot of you have to have honor in your life. You have to respect people, and you have to take care of people. We believed that. We did some bad things, but we believed that. And I've watched honoring people change their life, even in the midst. Because, see, we could be like the Pharisees, right? To be a Pharisee, you had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, or the Torah. You had to memorize it. They had all the knowledge. They had every ounce of knowledge that they needed to deal with the things that God had for them. They had the Levitican law. They had this big series of laws. It's like over 600 laws. Great, but how do you apply it? Jesus shows up on the scene. How did they apply it to him? Let's kill him. So if you can't separate your knowledge from the God's wisdom, you're going to be in trouble. Because the truth of the matter is, the Pharisees focused on themselves and on power and on control and not on what God was bringing them. See, when we step aside of ourselves and outside of ourselves and we say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm willing. your life will change. We're at the old church, feels like 100 years ago. It's about 20 years ago. And I was at the altar and I was crying out to God. And I was in tears. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to be stuck here anymore. I don't want to have these burdens anymore. I had the knowledge that God could heal me. I had the knowledge that God could fix me. But it took me being willing to accept God's wisdom that what I did was sinful, and I had to repent of it. And when I repented of it, it went away. Job understood trial, tribulation, right? Job 28:28 says, "And he said to the human race, fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and shun evil is understanding." In your life, I promise you, all of us have something sinful we are doing. Is it television? Is it multimedia? We have video games. The things that are out there right now that are available are just absolutely amazing to me. Do we walk away from evil, or do we accept it? See, Job receives no comfort from his friends, right? Even his wife was like, just go do whatever. Just admit to it. Job was against it. Every aspect of his life, every person he believed, he lost family members, he lost kids, he lost land, he lost animals, he lost his livelihood, he lost his health. But what did he not lose? His faith. His reverence for God, actually. He got close because he was like, Lord, I don't know. See, Job understood that revering God with deep respect for God was enough. That is all he needed. That is all he needed, was just to love God where he was and to respect him and to honor him and to say, yes, Lord. Everyone came against him, but what did he not do? He never surrendered to the pressure, to the peer pressure. When my wife and I got saved, there were people and friends of ours that walked away from us. You them crazy holy rollers now. No, but I would like to meet them for a deliverance session. Our surrender is very, very important to Christ, not to the world. Proverbs 2, 1-8. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Again, wisdom and understanding, knowledge and how to use that knowledge. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. In other words, you're going to look for it everywhere and every place that you can find it. And it continues. And find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. If you want God in your life, you have to seek him out. It's not about Pastor Ray and I. If you want God, you have to seek him out. You're the one that has to get on your face. You're the one that has to read the word of God. You're the one that has to spend time in prayer. I can't do anything else but, because I have devoted my life to him. Two, he's called me to be a pastor. And three, again, I have seen too much to go back to where I was. The world and the old world that I used to be in is no longer a world I choose to live in. When a church comes looking to receive and honor, to receive Christ, to honor her, I'm talking like our church now. When we come together and we're looking to see God move in here, and we all come as pieces of the puzzle with the right heart in respect and in honor, God can move in services. How many of us want to see revival? We all do, I hope. To have revival means we have to be in the right position. We have to be right with God. God will do it in spite of us if we're not ready. But heck, if he's going to do it, be part of it, because it's going to be amazing. God has more for you than you can understand when we honor him. Your heart has to come ready to do worship. I tell the youth all the time, because there's a battle in worship teams, right? The battle is, and you can correct me, Ron, there's some worship folks here. And the battle is like, well, we got to play the perfect tune, we got to play the perfect note. I tell the youth all the time, I don't care. I want you to go up there and I want you to worship God. Whatever that sounds like, because it's better than anything I can do, you just go honor God. Our fear of the Lord should be based on his mercy, his grace, and his love that we have experienced and we have heard about and we have read about. Not our feelings, but rather on a reverent view of an almighty creator. We've lost that as a nation and some people. God is almighty. God is holy. God is blameless. But you don't know what God's done to me. What did God do to you? Well, so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so did that to me. Well, time out. You said so-and-so did that, not God. God was there with you when you went through it, but God didn't tell him to do that. God doesn't tell us to sin, does he? No. And so the wounds that people carry sometimes will prevent them from drawing that closeness. Here's the deal, folks. Make sure I didn't skip a page. That happens sometimes. Here's the deal. God is bigger in your life than you realize. God wants you to be in a reverent relationship with him. He wants you to have the fear of losing him. The people that don't have the fear of losing God in their relationship spend the eternity in hell. It's a choice. It is a flat out choice that they make. Solomon's teachings imply that a person be willing to listen and a person be teachable. Arrogance and pride and all of those things that separate us from God do not have a place as a believer. When we come here, we should be humble. We come here, we should be teachable. When we come here, our heart should be looking toward the understanding of who God is and what God wants to do in our life. Not in the understanding of the world that's out there. To be honest with you, the world frustrates me. I had a situation last week. I'm working, doing my job, had legal right, and this guy pulls up in a dump truck, and he cursed me out. And he went up one side of me and down the other, and how I didn't have problems. And he used language. I never knew you could actually use the F word as a verb, an adverb, an adjective. It's pretty impressive, actually. But it was definitely colorful. All said and done, I looked at the guy, and I'm like, well, you need to call our client. They'll take care of you. And then he was like, well, if anybody walks on my property again, you're going to end up in a coroner's office. Now, normally when you threaten my life, we're going to get an own. And the peace of the Lord was with me. And he's like, no, he won't. And I was like, okay. I literally looked at the guy after his five-minute rant that was so loud that my partner who was up the road 300 yards away was like, what's going on down there? I looked at him and I was like, bro, have a good day. And I turned around and I walked away. I just literally walked away and I was like, Lord, just thank you, you know. And I prayed for the guy. Like, Lord, just bless that guy because he needs some Jesus. Like, he needs a lot of Jesus. But I didn't get angry. I didn't respond. I didn't. Why? Because I didn't need to. The old Mark would have engaged, and I'd have probably dumped that dude in the stream and drowned him. But hey, thank you, Lord, for progress. Come with reverence and fear of the Lord. So we should obtain that knowledge of grace that God has. Crying out to God in our prayers. Yes, you have to pray. You have to spend time with him. You have to do that. There were days that I would pray 1-2 hours a day, and there are still days that I do that. There are days when we're getting ready to do a deliverance session that I am on my face for 2 or 3 hours praying for the person that we're going to be praying for to watch them be delivered. Folks, it's not a game. Don't be so busy in the world that you miss the blessing of the Lord and the blessing of eternity. There's two scary scriptures in the Bible. One says the servant comes to the Lord and says, I've done all this in your name. He says, be gone from me, for I do not know you. That scares me. Thinking that you spent all of your life, but you don't know God, and then you spend eternity in hell. Actually, there's three. The second one is I'm 7 times more responsible for everything I do as a pastor. That's scary. Lord, we'll work on that. And the last is, you know, our tongue has the ability of life and death. In our prayer time, God can change who we are. In our reading of God's word, it changes who we are. It is a living Bible. And when we read that and we consume it, it becomes part of us. There are a lot of people who have not ever had breakthroughs. Why? Because they're the same as the day they got saved. They have not invested in their faith. And I want to encourage you today to invest in your faith because it's essential for your growth. We're all broken, right? People will sit there and they're like, oh, that person, we're all broken. We all got flaws. We're all done bad things. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We all have been prideful. We've all been arrogant. We've all probably lied sooner or later in our lives. But we have a God that's grace and his mercy is bigger than that. And why would we not want to embrace that? Why would we not want God to forgive us for those things? True wisdom is not found in your opinion. We like our opinions because they make us comfortable. It's what we think. And as long as everybody lines up with what we think, it's not a problem. You got to be careful who you get your opinions from. Right? Because there are false opinions out there. There are people who believe that if you're a spirit-filled believer who hears the voice of God or God speaks to you, you probably should be condemned because you're crazy. There is a push right now against pastors and certain forms of sin to imprison them if they speak against it. There are other places that are requiring pastors to give their sermons to the public officials so they can be monitored. Understand what's going on. It's not our opinions, folks. It's the truth in the Word of God and the truth spoken through the Holy Spirit. If God has, if you feel that God has hurt you, that God has let you down because your prayers have not been answered, your prayers are always heard. See, when we have a reverent fear of the Lord, we pray for that person, and what we pray for doesn't happen, then we get angry with God, right? Well, you didn't answer my prayer. You must not care. I remember being, I don't know, probably 10 years old, and we really weren't a faith-based house, but I was like, Lord, if you're real, let us win the baseball game tomorrow. We didn't win the baseball game. It's like, all right, you're not real. You know, that's the mentality that we have. We can't have that. We have to realize that there is a there is prayer, and then there are answers, and those answers don't always line up with our will, with our heart, and with our desire. And sometimes we just have to say, yes, Lord, I commend that person to you, whatever that is, right? We don't always have to like it, but we always have to honor God. Reading words, God's word, as I mentioned. All right. In closing, come here with a heart ready to worship. Come here with a heart that has taken your problems and your stuff, and which means you have to do the work before you walk in the door. Lord, I just give this stuff to you. Let me just know you're with me. Let this be a place that is honoring to God. I know there are pastors and churches that would put up food buffets and watch Super Bowl games and all kinds of crazy stuff in their sanctuaries. We try not to do that here. Let this be a place that is holy for you to meet the presence of the Most High. Let this be a place where God is raised up and exalted to the heavenly realms. And let this just be a place for us to come in the reverence and the fear of the Lord to experience what He has for us, whatever that may be.